Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Beis is Daf Gimel. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf Lubrin Lazer Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. The question on the table for today, as it was yesterday, is the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Beis Hashanel to Biyamtov. That if I have an egg which is laying on Yantov, so according to Beis Hillel, lo sochel, you're not allowed to eat the egg. And the question is really simple: why not? Why can't you eat the egg? So yesterday, the Gemara entertained the idea that it's a muksa issue. The egg is prohibited because of muksa. We learned yesterday that, I mentioned yesterday that muksa is a huge topic, and there are many categorizations and permutations within the world of muksa. But as far as an egg is concerned, so egg is not just muksa, but egg also falls under the category of nolad. Right? Anything which has entered into a new state of being on Shabbos or on Yom Tov is muksa machmas nolad. So as a result of that, so the egg is muksa, and the egg is muksa machmas nolad. So that was the idea that the Gemara was entertaining yesterday in terms of why the egg should be prohibited on Yantav. Now, mind you, that the only way we can entertain the idea of muksa is if the chicken who laid the egg is designated for egg laying. Meaning, as we discussed yesterday, there basically are two types of chickens. One chicken which is designated for egg laying, and the other chicken which you want to eat. So if we're talking about Yantav, so you go into Yantav and you want to eat the chicken, meaning in your mind and your intent is to eat the chicken, so the chicken is not muksa. If the chicken is not muksa, so the egg inside is also not going to be muksa as well. So it must be, as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, that in order to work with this first approach, so you therefore have to say that the chicken that's laying the egg is an egg-laying chicken, so the chicken itself is muksa, and because the chicken itself is muksa, so therefore the egg is muksa as well. Okay, that was the Gemara's first approach. And we ended off yesterday by pointing out it's difficult. It's a difficult approach. Not because there's anything fundamentally wrong with the approach, but the problem is, why is the Mishnah talking about an egg? Meaning, if the issue is, well, the chicken is designated for egg laying, and therefore we had no intent of eating the chicken going into Yom Tov, so let's have a much more basic discussion. Why are we talking about the egg which is being produced by the chicken? Talk about the chicken itself. The chicken itself should be prohibited because the chicken is muksa. So that's and the Gemara ended off yesterday by pointing out that's really difficult, and it's hard to understand why that should be, and that's pretty much where we ended yesterday. We're in Bezim and Bez, and we are continuing where we left off yesterday, and we're going to try now a couple of other approaches. Ela Marabba. You could find us on Bezim and Bez, right in the middle of the Amud, where the Gemara now is going to go for approach number two. Okay, you can debate. We could quibble a little bit right now in terms of whether this is approach number two or approach number one. Usually whenever the Gemara says the word Ella means that we're going to reset the question and present anew. So you call this one, you can call this two. Although the Gemara is not going to totally abandon this first approach of the Gemara, the muksa approach of the Gemara, but anyway, okay, so another approach. So the Gemara says, okay, let's say what the chicken we're talking about is a chicken which is meant to be eaten. Good. So the chicken itself is not muksa. Going into Yantav, you want to eat the chicken, by all means. You shech the chicken on Yantav. That's not the issue. And we're speaking specifically about a case where Yantav occurs after Shabbos. Okay? What's the problem? So in other words, we have Yantav being Sunday, Shabbos of course being Shabbos. Umishum hachana. The problem is hachana. The Kasav Rabba Kobetza de Misyal de Ina Mesmo Gamarla, and the Gemara goes on to clarify this position of Achana. I haven't defined it yet with the Gemara. I will in just a moment. But in the meantime, the Gemara just gives us a little biological word, a little anatomy, chicken anatomy, and that is that if the egg is being laid today, the egg was ready 24 hours earlier. Okay, so in other words, the right egg emerges from the chicken today. That means that the egg was a finished product yesterday. And that now means as follows. When was this egg completed? Shabbos. Meaning we're talking about a case where Shabbos, Sunday being Yantav. So Shabbos, Yantav, and the egg was laid on Yantav. That means that the egg was muchan, or finished, or prepared on Shabbos. Rabba l'tamei dama rabba mai dechsiv. And this is now Rabba being consistent, because Rabba says, look at the pasuk, v'ayaba yamashishi, v'yechina sesher yaviyu. And the Torah says that it was on a Friday. And what do we got to do before Shabbos? We got to prepare. In other words, all the man that comes down on Friday, the double portion of man that comes down on Friday, you got to take the man and prepare it. Prepare it for Shabbos. So, chol mechin l'Shabbos, v'chol mechin l'yantav. So you can prepare for Shabbos and you can prepare for yantav. Not can, but must. Vein yantav mechin l'Shabbos, vein Shabbos mechin l'yantav. But you can't prepare from Shabbos to yantav, you can't prepare from yantav to Shabbos. So here's the story. Rabbah says, that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of hachana, which included in the mitzvah d'oraisa of hachana is also an iser d'oraisa, a biblical prohibition that I'm not allowed to prepare from Shabbos to Yontif, or from Yontif to Shabbos. Therefore, we're speaking, our Mishnah is speaking specifically about a case where it is Shabbos Yontif. The egg was laid on Yontif, Sunday being Yontif. And the problem is that when did it become mucha, when did it become prepared on Shabbos itself, and therefore it's a biblical violation. And so it's a deraisa of hachana. Take a look at Rashi, Mishum hachana. Okay, no, I didn't mean that. Rashi, vehechinu. Oh, no. Right in between. Letame dama rava. So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Pesachim. It's one line Rashi. V'yalef mehacha, Rashi says, what do we learn from here? Demoksa daraisa. That the din of moksa is daraisa. Okay, it's a obviously very interesting Rashi, and one which deserves a tremendous amount of attention. The Gemara just simply says hachana. The Gemara doesn't say moksa, but Rashi says hachana is a function of moksa. And it's interesting, Rashi says that moksa is daraisa. Now obviously Rashi does not mean globally, I don't think. Rashi doesn't mean that muksa daraisa, globally, the whole concept of muksa is daraisa. Most of our time in Masechta Beitza, we're going to be operating with the assumption that muksa is a din d'rabbana, not a din daraisa. It could be that Rashi means that just in this particular context of preparing from Shabbos Yantar, from Yantar to Shabbos, so therefore it is a problem of muksa. So this is a function of muksa. Maybe Rashi means this in terms of eating, in terms of food, and not in terms of kalim. Okay, anyway, the point I'm just going to raise very simply is that Rashi does connect the idea of hachana to the idea of muksa, and then Rashi then says muksa is daraisa. That's an interesting Rashi, and one definitely which you should note. Anyway, but back to the Gemara. So Amar Le Abaye, let me ask you, Yontav Ba'al Matishtare. So the Gemara says, fine. So this is a problem of hachana, meaning that when Yontif is on a Sunday and the egg is laid on Yontif, so that means that it was prepared on Shabbos and therefore you didn't prepare it during the week. I mean, by the way, just another point to raise, Rashi makes this point. It's interesting, you didn't do anything. Meaning, right, the idea that it's muchan, that you have to prepare during the week, I mean, here it's nature, it's the anatomy of a chicken, where the chicken finishes the egg 24 hours before it actually lays the egg. So you didn't do anything, okay, but still, it's the Gemara says this is a function of hachana. Anyway, Abaye says to Rabbah, I'm not following. Meaning, okay, but what about just a regular yontif? If it's a regular yontif and the egg lays the chicken on, and the chicken lays the egg on yontif, so that means that it was prepared when? 24 hours earlier, which is a weekday. So what's the problem? Gzeira mishum yontif achar Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, well, it's a gzeira, meaning you're right. If it was a standalone yontif, and the day before wasn't Shabbos, so you're right, but it's a gzeira. So the Gemara says, Shabbos d'amatishtare. Well, what about Shabbos? Meaning, what if it's just a regular Shabbos, and the egg, and the chicken lays an egg on Shabbos? Gzeira mishum Shabbos achi yontif. So the Gemara says, again, the same basic answer. Gzeira. That's a rabbinic decree. In other words, you're right, Shabbos by itself would be fine, but if in the event that I had yontif Shabbos, so then yontif being a Friday, Shabbos of course being Shabbos, so then it would be a problem of hachana. So So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know we don't make such a gzera. Imagine you shech the chicken on yontif, and then inside the chicken you find eggs. Are you allowed to eat the eggs? Sure. So the Gemara says, so you see, you're allowed to eat the egg, so we don't make a gzera. So the Gemara says, I can easily see a gzera over here where don't eat the eggs inside the chicken, because if I eat the eggs inside the chicken, the next time the chicken lays an egg, I'll say to myself, you know, I just had a scrambled egg on yontif. Okay? So I'll have another scrambled egg on yontif. Not understanding that the difference is, the first scrambled egg comes from a chicken where it didn't lay the egg, I shechted the chicken. The egg was there inside the body. So the Gemara says, "Amalei beitim gemuros b'me'iman milsa lo shchicha hi o milsa lo shchicha lo gazra be'rabban." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but I'll tell you why we're not going to make a gzera, because to shech the chicken and find a finished egg inside the chicken, that's something which is uncommon, it's unusual, and that's why the Chachamim don't make a gzera. But eggs being laid on yontif, eggs being laid on Shabbos, that's common, it's frequent. Chickens lay eggs daily." Not every chicken, but chickens lay egg all the time, and so therefore it's totally within the realm of gzera, rabbinic decree, where they're going to make a gzera Shabbos in the event that yontif comes before Shabbos, or yontif in the event that Or if it was late on Yantiv, Shabbos comes before Yantiv. In other words, in those scenarios, we're going to have a gzera. Okay, so we've basically now finished our second approach. What's our second approach? Chana d'Rabba. The problem is that when the egg is laid on Yantiv, so if in the event that Shabbos was the day prior, so that means that the egg was finished on Shabbos, and therefore Shabbos prepared for Yantiv, and according to Rabba, that's a no-no. That's an Issa d'Araisa to prepare from Shabbos to Yantiv. 2 points I'll raise just very quickly, and then we're going to move on. Right, Achana d'Rabba, so if that's true, so how does Erev Tavshilin work? Meaning we're going to see in the second parak of our Masechta, the whole idea of Erev Tavshilin, where if I want to cook from Yantiv to Shabbos, I have to set up an Erev Tavshilin. And we'll discuss it in much greater detail, but according to Rabba, what am I doing? I'm preparing from Yantiv to Shabbos. So how do I get around this issue of Hachana if there's a Isser d'Araisa to prepare for Yantiv to Shabbos? Yes.
So a goy can prepare for a Jew, right, from Yantiv to Shabbos. So you're going to say an animal takes precedence over a human
being? Right. I've noted. It's a very fair point. As far as the goy is concerned, I'm not. Let's just take the point that the you didn't do anything, right? I understand your position. I get it. Meaning I'm sensitive to that as well. This is not you preparing from Yantiv to Shabbos. This is the chicken doing it. But Rabba says it doesn't matter. In other words, Rabba's basic point is that's also a function of Achana. But it's a good point which you're raising. And so therefore Tosfos says, how does Erev Tavshilin work? Okay, that's a question. The other issue which Tosfos raises is it comes out from our Gemara that you have to prepare from a weekday to Shabbos. You have to prepare from a weekday to Yantiv. Why? Because they did so in the desert. In other words, in the desert, right, when the Torah gave down brought down the man, so make sure that you prepare that man from Friday for Shabbos. Fine. The Gemara also said you have to prepare the man from the weekday to Yantiv. What does it sound like from our Gemara? Sounds like from our Gemara that double portion of man came down on Erev Yantiv. Meaning just like on Erev Shabbos, double portion of man came down, so too did a double portion of man come down on Erev Yantiv. Now, in the Torah, we wouldn't know. Meaning, you pick up a chumash, open up Parshas Bishalach, read. You certainly get the sense, not the sense. The Torah tells us that the double portion comes down on Erev Shabbos, but there is no indication in the Torah that it comes down also on Erev Yantiv as well. From our Gemara, it certainly sounds that way. And if you take a look at the Tosfos, Vayaba Yamashishi, so he brings down Midrashim, where Midrashim also speak to this idea that the double portion of man comes down on Erev Yantiv. Although, to be... Huh?
You use the third Shabbat in Torah for Yom Tov also.
Right. In other words, right, it could be. It could be that Yantiv is just another function of Shabbos. It could be that. But anyway, you take a look at Tosfos over here where he quotes Midrashim. But to be fair and honest, however, if you take a look at Tosfos, if you do actually read, so Tosfos does point out that not all the Midrashim are in agreement, and some Midrashim are of the position that the double portion of Mon did not fall down on Erev Yantiv, but it only fell down on Erev Shabbos. Okay, and obviously for us that would mean what? So the Lechem Mishnah, meaning we have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos, right? The general consensus is that we have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos because of the double portion. So that's why we have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos. So if that's true, and the man didn't come down in Erev Yantiv, so then that would mean we wouldn't need Lechem Mishnah for Yantiv as well. But take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos actually has that discussion. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. So again, let's do a summary report, and then let's move on in the Gemara. The Mishnah says that if an egg is laid on Yantiv, you can't eat the egg. That's what the Mishnah says. That's Shitas Beis Hillel. That's obviously the one that we're assuming. Why not? So approach number one of the Gemara is because it's muksa. Because the chicken in question is a chicken which was not intended to be eaten. The chicken itself was designated for the purpose of egg laying. And so therefore the chicken itself is muksa. The egg, the resulting egg that comes from the chicken, is also going to be muksa as well. That's approach number one. It is difficult approach because then why are we talking about the egg? Why aren't we talking about the chicken? The second approach now that we've dealt with is the position of Rabba. Rabba says Hachana, because in the event that Yantiv immediately followed Shabbos, meaning Yantiv is on a Sunday, so therefore the egg was laid on Yantiv, which means that when was it prepared? On Shabbos. And that's a violation of Hachana. You have to prepare from the weekday for Shabbos, but and from the weekday for Yontif, but not from Shabbos for Yontif. And so therefore it's a violation of Chana. HaChana seems to be an Issur Daraisa. Rashi says it's an Issur Daraisa. Rashi actually connects it to Muksa. Either way, that's approach number two. Approach number three. We're on the bottom of Beis Amud Beis. We're two lines from the bottom. And the Gemara now is going to give us a third approach. Rav Yosef Amar Gzera Mishum, Paris Anoshim. So Rav Yosef says another possible reason why the egg is going to be prohibited, and that's because of fruit that falls off the tree. We know that you cannot, on Shabbos or on Yontif, go over to a tree and pick off a fruit. Okay, that is a malacha de araisa. That's a biblical prohibition. That would fall under kotzer. So you're not allowed to pluck off a fruit. So Rav Yosef says the egg coming out of the chicken is analogous to a fruit being plucked off the tree. Now, when I say analogous, I do not mean it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. A tree is growing from the ground. A tree is connected to the ground. You're basically separating something from the ground. The chicken and the egg is not the same, but it's analogous. They're similar. So Rav Yosef says, Gzeira. It's a rabbinic decree because of Perish Anoshim. Now, mind you, and the Gemara is about to point this out, now you can't pluck a fruit off the tree. That's an Issur Daraisa. What if I didn't pluck the fruit off the tree, but what if the fruit came off on its own? On Shabbos, meaning you saw the fruit just drop right from the tree on Shabbos. Can I take that fruit? And the answer is going to be no. So similarly over here... That's a Derabbanan. So similarly over here, so I didn't pull the egg out of the chicken. In other words, the chicken in this, I'll use the word dropped, just to work with the analogy. The chicken dropped the egg on Yontif. So over here, so the Gemara is assuming, Rav Yosef is assuming that they're analogous to one another. So Amalei Abaye, so Abaye says, and Hedy, you're sitting right on this point. Amalei Abaye, Paris Anoshim, Time Amai, Gzer Shema Yalavi Yitlosh. So Abaye challenges his Rebbe, his Chavrusa, Rav Yosef, and he says, his Rebbe. So he says, I don't understand. So he says, if the fruit falls off the tree, that's not Issur Daraisa, that's an Issur Darabbanan. And now basically what are you doing? You want to extend the Issur Darabbanan? You want to make another Issur Darabbanan on an already Issur Darabbanan? So Gzer Shama Yala V'yitlo Shi Gufa Gzera V'anam Nekum V'negzer Gzera L'Gzera. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to compound Gzeras one on top of another. We don't do that. We don't make a gzera on top of a gzera. So the Gemara's answer is kula chad gzerahi. So the Gemara says, no, this is all but one gzera. Right? You will see this occur in the Gemara a number of times where the Gemara thinks that it's compounded gzeros. And then the Gemara's answer is, no, it's not one. It's not compounded gzeros. This was part of the original gzera. Meaning, as Rashi explains, you can take a look at the second Rashi on Gimel Amud Aleph. Where Rashi basically says, I'm paraphrasing, Rashi basically says that when the Chachamim said that, you know, the Torah prohibits us from going onto the tree and plucking out a fruit, so you know what? We're going to make a gzera. What's the gzera that we're going to make? Then any time I have a similar, analogous scenario where either the fruit falls off the tree, the egg falls out of the chicken, right? In any of those situations, we're gzera. Because if we allow those scenarios to occur, so then the next step is that they're going to pluck the fruit right off the tree. Okay, that's the... So, but in other words, it's all part of the original gzera. It's not a gzera compounded on top of another gzera. Adkan. That's going to be, I guess we'll call it our third approach. The approach of Rav Yosef, and that is that it's a rabbinic concern that maybe you're going to pluck a fruit off the tree. Okay, let's at this point in time pause in the Gemara, meaning we're going to have one more approach that we're going to go through, the fourth approach, Rav Yitzchak's approach. But before we do so, let's pause for just a moment and let's consider the following. We're going to be now touching on some of the most basic issues in terms of Yontif. I didn't say this in the beginning of the Masechta, but we're on day two, so I could still call this a basic introduction to Yontif. On Yontif, you're allowed to cook. Okay, I think we're all familiar. Meaning that on Shabbos, all malachas are prohibited, including food preparation. Okay, all food preparation on Shabbos has to be done before Shabbos. Yeah, you can cut vegetables for a salad, and even then, there are certain times where if you cut them too thin, if you dice them, it's going to be possibly even a malacha. But in other words, but no food preparation on Shabbos, but yes, food preparation on Yontif. Why? So again, if you went to shul this past Shabbos and you listen carefully to Parshas Chodesh, so the Torah says, "Acha asher yechol lechol nefesh hu levado yaseh lachem," that on Yontif we're allowed to engage in food preparation. So we know that on Yom Tov you're allowed to shecht. I mean, we've been assuming that since the beginning of the Masechta. So you're allowed to transfer a fire. You're allowed to cook. You're allowed to knead dough. Okay, in other words, so you can do malachas that are involved in food preparation. So let's ask a very simple question. Really, really simple question. If you're allowed to on Yom Tov be involved in food preparation, so can I go over to a tree and take a fruit and pluck it right off the tree and eat it? And if you'll say no, well, that's a malacha, you can't do that. Well, so is cooking, and so is transferring a fire, and so let's wonder out loud. So the Gemara says, well, you know, when the egg comes out of the chicken, so if the Chachamim allow us to eat that, well, our next step is going to be that we're going to pluck a fruit off a tree. Okay, and so let's ask the question. So let's pluck the fruit off the tree. I'm allowed to cook on Yom Tov, so why can't I pluck a fruit off the tree? Right, everyone understand? Really simple question, really basic question, meaning we're now touching on some basic issues. Why do I bring it up right now? Well, it's very simple. Because the Gemara says that you're not allowed to pluck a fruit off a tree on Yom Tov. Right? The Gemara just said that. And so if you're not allowed to pluck a fruit off a tree on Yom Tov, so the question is so simple. Well, why not? That's ochel. That's food. This question is a real mind-bender. It's such a mind-bender that Tosos himself struggles with this question. And it's Tosos right here. Now, the big Tosos is Zeresham Yalav Yitlosh. So I'm going to highlight some of the points in Tosfos where he attempts to answer this question. Meaning, let me see if I can be clear. We know the conclusion. We know the conclusion is you can't pluck a fruit off a tree. On Yom Tov. The only thing we're going to try to deal with is, well, why not? If I can cook, why can't I pluck the fruit off the tree? Tosfos, in Tosfos, I'm going to drop more than halfway down in the Tosfos. I'm going to start with the words Achtema. In Tosfos, it says the lines start getting not all the way wide, but medium wide. So you'll look a dozen lines down, and it's the second word in the line that starts with the words Achtema. Where Tosfos over here tackles this question head on. Achtema maishna yalavi maisha mayalavi yitlosh. Hafi lechatkila mutter litlosh da ochel nefesh mutter. So Tosfos here asks the question straight out. Why can't I not pluck a fruit off the tree? Let's call that ochel nefesh. That allows me to eat on Yom Tov. So v'gam kashal kamban tanan ein sadim dagim and abir miyam tov v'amai ha ochel nefeshu. And Tosfos says, you know what? As long as we're discussing this, let me ask also another very basic question. Right? You can't go fishing on Yom Tov. Why not? Meaning, I want to eat fish. And I really like fresh fish. So let's go fishing. And once again, if your answer is, well, fishing is a malacha, that's seida. That's trapping, you're not allowed to trap. Okay, you're also not allowed to cook. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook. Why? Ochel nefesh, because I can do food preparation. So why not fish on Yom Tov? Okay? V'ein lomar. So Tosfos says, here's what I'm going to be rejecting out of hand. Well, you know you could have fished before Yom Tov, and if you could fish before Yom Tov, so therefore you can't fish on Yom Tov. Right? The distinction of Efshar la'asoso me'er of Yom Tov. Well, I could have done it before Yom Tov. So Tosfos says, that is a fair distinction. But not when it comes to food itself. Kilo is aved le mer of Yom Tov deha amrinan hu v'lo machshir of perish ochel nefesh v'lo machshir kagon l'takin shpud Rav Yehuda amir lachem l'chot tzarcheichem v'hu levado yitzarech l'esar machshirin she'ef l'tachna mer of Yom Tov. So Tosfos says that's a distinction, but not regarding food preparation, regarding machshirin. Ama dafka bim machshirin yesh chiluk bein efshar l'asos mer of Yom Tov bein efshar. So Tosfos says that is a very fair distinction. But now when it comes to the food itself, that comes to machshirin. Machshirin means things that are needed to help me prepare the food. But now regarding the food itself, there's no distinction between could have done it today, could have done it yesterday. But when it comes to the actual food itself, even if I could have done it before Yom Tov, I'm doing it on Yom Tov itself. So now, back to square one, according to Tosfos. Why can't I not pluck a fruit off the tree? And for that matter, why can't I go fishing on Yom Tov? V'yesh omrim delakach ein sadin Shema Yitzar Dagim Tameim She'en El Sarech. So another suggestion of Tosfos is, well, maybe when I go fishing, look, you don't know what's coming up on the hook, and it could very well be that that which is going to come up on the hook is a non-kosher fish. And what did I just do? I did a malacha, but I didn't benefit from the malacha that I did. So it's a malacha she'en atzrich l'gufa. So
Tosfos.
That's a devotion on the Yeah, so, right, and Tosfos says, and so Tosfos says, okay, and, meaning that, that's not going to prohibit you from doing it. And as Ben points out, it's the Davar She'eino Miskaven. I had no intent to pick up a fish that wasn't kosher. So, okay, so in other words, so Tosfos rejects that as well. Alkein Perish Rabbeinu Nesanon Mikinon Dibi Yushami. So Tosfos says, so here's what I got for you. Meaning, that we're going to have to draw a line in the sand. Okay, and the question is, where's the line going to be? And why are we drawing the line there? So Tosfos quotes one of the Balei HaTosfos, Nesanon Mikinon. Okay. And he quotes a Yerushalmi. So Yesh Ach Asher Yechol Lechol Nefesh. So the pasuk that we quoted, which we Parshas Bo, just read it this past Shabbos, is Ach Asher Yechol Lechol Nefesh. You can do food preparation. Usmichlei. Now, if you look, the next pasuk is going to be Ushmartem Es Hamatzos. Make sure to protect and safeguard the matzos. Osa malacha shem mishimor ve'elachem mutarim, anything which is from shimor and on, meaning from the point that you have to be involved in the safeguarding of the matzah. When exactly do you need to be safeguarding the matzah? Adahainu milisha ve'elach. That's only from the point of lisha and onward. So when it comes to the kneading of the dough, so that's at that point in time, there's a mitzvah of shmatza shmura. That matzah has to be safeguarded, meaning all activities from Lisha going forward, there has to be a mindset of, this is L'shei Matzah's mitzvah. And so therefore, when it comes to the malachas, which you're allowed to do on Yontif, only from Lisha and onward, only from kneading and onward. Avalshar malachas demikon lachain asurim. But anything prior to that point in time is going to be prohibited. Okay, so let's see if I can give just a little more clarity on this explanation of Tosfos. We know that there are 11 malachas. There are a total of 39 malachas in the Torah. Okay, we went through it together in the 7th perek of Shabbos. The second mission of the 7th perek, second mission of Shabbos, we went through all 39 malachas. 11 of those malachas are what's called in the Gemara Sidur Depas. Meaning those are 11 malachas that are involved in the preparation of bread. In that, what Tosfos now is arguing, again, he's quoting Yerushalmi, is that on Yontif you could do food preparation. But you can't do all 11 malachas. In fact, you can only do very few of those 11 malachas. How do I know that? Because of the juxtaposition of the pasuk that allows me to cook on Yontif, Achashe Yechol Nefesh, right against the pasuk of Ushmatem Es HaMatzos. At what point in time do the matzos require shmira? From Lisha. So in other words, the line we're going to draw of the 11 malachas that are involved in bread preparation is only going to be from the point of Lisha. Now, by the way, how many malachas does it allow me to do in terms of food preparation? Right, let's see if we can remember how many the malachas. After Lisha, what's the next one after Lisha?
Baking.
All right, Bishul, Afia. So in other words, basically, the line is going to be the first 9 malachos, you can't do that on Yontif. Only the last 2 malachos, oh, it's only going to be Lisha ve'Afia, only kneading the dough and baking the dough, but nothing prior to that point in time. Now, the Yerushalmi doesn't explain why it's not a little thing. All the Yerushalmi is doing is saying, that's the line that we're drawing because of the juxtaposition. Now, we can argue and we can suggest, well, maybe the reason why is because everything else could have done before Yontif. The only reason why that's tough to argue is because Tosfos ended up rejecting that previously. Tosfos says, what do you mean? When it comes to Ochel, we don't make a distinction between that which can be done before versus that which can be done on. But anyway, so Tosfos concludes that the Yerushalmi gives us an explanation, some explanation in terms of why some halachas yes, some halachas no, and it has to do with the smichas parshias. Okay. So I'm just providing one approach to this question. Really basic question which we're dealing with right now. And so I give you today Tosfos and one approach.
Picking up the fruit off the tree is really not analogous to the
to the wheat and baking, because the food is ready to be eaten. You pick it up. You're not doing any kind of like preparation.
Understood. I'm just looking at it. I mean, Tosha's just looking at it from a malacha standpoint. Meaning, when you pluck the fruit off the tree, you're right. You could bite into the apple right then. Right. But in terms of malachas, that's a malacha of kotzer. That's really early on in the Sidur Depas. And also, just one other point, which is, according to Tosfos, fine. So in the 11 malachas of Sidur Depas, so now we know, we're going to draw the line from Lisha and onward, which is basically Lisha and Afia. The previous 9 malachas are all prohibited and anyantiv. Fine. Good. But that only takes care of the 11 malachas of Sidur Depas. Right? How do I know that I can shecht anyantiv? How do you know you can transfer a fire? Meaning, it's not... When it says Milisha ve'elech, it doesn't mean and anything past that point in time is okay. We know that's not true. Meaning you can't tie a knot in yontif, right? You can't right. The other 20. Sorry, where's my math? Right. The other 28 malachas. You can't do the other 28 malachas. You can except for shechting and fire and carrying. So this. Right, so this line that we drew is only working for bread and bread preparation, meaning Sidur Depas. Where does the other malachas, where do they come from?
The Shechita itself.
Right, the Shechita and the fire and the carrying. Okay, so I'm not, in other words, Tosos does help, but it doesn't tie up all the loose ends in terms of giving us an understanding of what you can and what you can't do on Yantav. Right, so that right, the Gemara is about to say you can't do that on Yantav. Now, according to Tosfos, I understand squeezing a fruit is a function of dash. Dash comes before Lisha, well before Lisha. So good. So now we understand why that's no good according to Tosfos' explanation.
I thought that Shimura from the time that they get the wheat cut all the way through.
I'm happy you raised that issue. I wasn't going to, but you did. When Tosfos says that, you know, Shimura is from the point of kneading. That's not an agreed position. That's also a controversial position, and some are of the opinion that shmirah has to be done from ketzira, from the point of harvest, right? That's a heady. It's an excellent point, and so Tosos obviously is not working with that. But you're right. That was a controversial statement, even though he said it like it wasn't a controversy.
Well, Chabad people, I think they even look at the land before.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. But the two opinions of matzah shmirah is either from Lisha, which Tosos here quotes. Or from Katsira. Okay. Let's go back to the Gemara. Okay, I know I spent a lot of time over there on that Tosfos, but to be fair, I mean it's a basic point. It's a really fundamental issue. Okay, we are on Gimel Amud Aleph, we're 3 lines down. Rav Yitzchak Amar Gzera Mishum Mashkin Shezavu. Again, this is a fourth response to the question of the egg that's laid on Yantiv is prohibited. Why is it prohibited? So the answer of Rabbi Yitzchak, which by the way is very similar to the previous answer of Rabbi Yosef, Gzeira, it's a rabbinic decree. Why? Because we know that you're not allowed to squeeze a fruit on Shabbos nor on Yantiv. I mean, we know, we're saying. It's so that you're not allowed to squeeze a fruit on Shabbos nor on Yantiv. And if I enjoy the egg that was laid by the chicken, so it's a gzera, so the next thing that will happen is, well, what's the difference? Meaning the egg came out of the chicken, the juice is coming out of the fruit, same. And so therefore, people will end up squeezing their fruit on Yantav. So Amalei Abaye Mashin Shazavu Tamamai. Well, again, we're explaining our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about Yantav. Shabbos would also be prohibited. So, Gzera, I'm sorry. So, Amalei Abaye Mashin Shazavu Tamamai Gzera Shami Yitzchot Higuf Gzera Vanunikum and Gzera Lagzera. So, again, the Gemara asks the same question. We're not talking about where you squeezed the fruit. We're talking about where the juice came out on its own. Meaning, again, the chicken, you didn't squeeze the chicken to get the egg out. The egg came out on its own. So, in other words, in an analogous scenario by fruit, if the juice comes out on its own, yes, that's prohibited, but that's a rabbinic decree. That's Gzera Durabanan. So now the egg and the chicken and the egg, that's going to be another gzera derabanan. So again, you're compounding one gzera on top of another gzera, and the Gemara's answer is going to be exactly the same. Kula chad gzera hi. So the Gemara says it's all one gzera. Okay, ad kan. Now we can breathe, now we can pause. We have now four approaches, we have four answers to our question. Our question when we started the Masechta yesterday was, the egg that's laid in Yom Tov is going to be prohibited, either because according to Rav Nachman it's a Moksa issue, or according to Rabba it's a Hachana issue, or according to Rav Yosef or Rabbi Yitzchak, it's a Gzera issue. Either the Gzera is you're gonna pluck a fruit off the tree, or the Gzera is you're going to squeeze the fruit and get the juice, extract the juice out of the fruit. So the Gemara points out four different approaches. Obviously, whoever gives any one of these approaches is dissatisfied with the other three approaches, and the Gemara now is going to explain the dissatisfaction. So the Gemara says, "Kulik Rav Nachman lo amar lo amar ki kushan." So as far as Rav Nachman, we know why everyone's dissatisfied with Rav Nachman's pshat, because the Gemara pointed out, why are we talking about the egg? Talk about the chicken. The egg is muksa, but so is the chicken. So why aren't we talking about the chicken? And Kirabba Namilo Amri Hakanalehu. Now as far as Rava's concerned, well, Rava is only explaining our Mishnah based on his principle. If you don't subscribe to the principle of Hachana, you're obviously not going to use that as an explanation of our Mishnah. El Rav Yosef, my time alo amak Rav Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rav Yosef, who says that it's like Zera because he may pluck a fruit off the tree, why doesn't he subscribe to Rav Yitzchak? Amalacha, beitza uchla, uperis uchla. Lafuki mashkin, the lav uchla. Well, you can't, he doesn't buy into Rav Yitzchak's Zera because Rav Yitzchak is talking about extracting juice from a fruit. That's a liquid. An egg is a solid, an egg is not a liquid. And by the way, I understand that you can argue that point, meaning the shell is a solid. Obviously, the contents are not a solid. But okay, but still, the Gemara says, the Gemara refers to egg as an uchla, as a fruit, as a food. Rav Yitzchak, my time lo amar k'Rav Yosef amalacha, beitz ablua, mashkin bluin, lafuki peros demiglu v'kaimo. And the Gemara says, and finally, why is Rav Yitzchak not satisfied with Rav Yosef? Because an egg inside a chicken, it's balua. It's inside the chicken. The fruit on the tree, it's not inside the tree. It's exposed. You're looking right at it. The juice inside of a fruit, that's more analogous. Because the juice inside the fruit, it's internal. It's balua. It's absorbed in the fruit, much like the egg is absorbed in the chicken. So it's a better analogy. Okay. Good. A Mishnah, a prohibition of an egg which is laid on Yom Tov. Four explanations. The Gemara gave us an understanding of why the other three Amoraim are dissatisfied with the whoever's fourth approach it is. And now that we go on, but when I say we go on, it means that we're gonna go over the Shita of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan Safek Zera Mishum Mashkin Shezavu. Rav Yochanan agrees with the last position, Rabbi Yitzchak. Rav Yochanan says this is a gzera because of the liquid which comes out of a fruit. How do I know that Rav Yochanan agrees with Rav Yitzchak? For the following reason. The Rav Yochanan Rami, the Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yochanan notes a contradiction between the sheet of Rav Yehuda and Mishani. And he gives an answer. So first, let's see the contradiction. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. You cannot squeeze fruit on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Now, if the juice comes out on its own, meaning it's very ripe, it's very fresh, and the juice oozes out on its own, it would be the juice that oozes out is prohibited. That's the position of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. Im la'ochlin, if people before Shabbos were considering eating the fruit, hayos me mutter, the juice that comes out naturally is fine. However, im lamashkin, but if we were planning on squeezing the fruit originally, im lamashkin, hayotze mehem aser, that which comes out of it is going to be prohibited. And we understand that distinction. The distinction makes a lot of sense. Meaning, because if we were planning on squeezing the fruit, and a little bit of juice comes out on its own, so then, and I'm allowed to drink it, okay, good, so let's squeeze some more. Meaning I can understand why the Chachamim made a gzera. But if we were only planning on eating the fruits, the Rav Yehuda says, the juice that comes out naturally, no problem. No, we're not tempted to squeeze it more because we were planning on eating the fruit. But ama ka uchlin le Rav Yehuda uchla defrasi. So, but what do you see according to Rav Yehuda? That as long as we were planning on eating the fruit, so that which comes out of it is just simply part and parcel of the food. It's what the Gemara refers to as uchla de efras. Rashi, we saw this word yesterday's daf. Efras just simply means it's a part of the food. Urim minu. So far, so good. We have now one braisa, shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Anything that comes off of food is considered food. And va'od, just give me a moment. Let's just get through the two brisos and the answer. Am Rav Yehuda Masna Adama Kakal Shaperos B'yam Tavrishon Va'ochla B'sheni V'chein Beit Zishanol D'Brishon Tocha B'sheni. We know that we have 2 days of Yantav. 2 days of Yantav. Why? So thank you. We are right. We have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, right. And the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So, long story why we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And you know what? Perhaps even tomorrow we'll tell over some of the story of why there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But anyway, there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, you have an egg laid on day one. Okay, you can't eat it. Good. We know that. How about this? How about we hold it over till day two? Can I eat it on day two? So Rabbi Huda says, sure. No problem at all. So Beitzah Shenol D'Berishon Tocha B'Sheni. And by the way, he's talking about a basket of fruit also that has to do with the separation of Chumos and Maestros. For our time, for our purposes right now, please forgive me, but we're just going to focus on the egg because that's our big issue for now. So the egg which is laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, so Tocha B'Sheni. So you can eat it on day two. Now, B'Sheni and B'Rishon Lo. You can eat it on day two, which obviously means you can't eat it on day one. So now, we're a little bit confused. Meaning, what's the difference between the first brisa and the second brisa? In the first brisa, a little juice that comes off of a fruit which was meant to be eaten. A little juice that comes off the fruit, Rabbi Yehuda says that's fine. Why? Because the juice that comes off the fruit, uchla de afrasi, it's part of the fruit. Of course, I'm allowed to eat the fruit on Yantif and on Shabbos. So the little juice that comes out on its own, I didn't squeeze it. The little juice that comes out on its own, it's also part of the fruit. And meanwhile, Rav Yochanan notes that in the second brisa, an egg which is laid on Yantif, so on day one I can't eat it, but on day two I'm allowed to eat it. Why can't I eat it? Why can't I eat it on day one? Isn't it uchla de efrasi? Isn't the egg part of the chicken? And if I can eat the chicken, why can't I eat the egg? This is a question which is posed by Rabbi Yochanan. Umishani, Rabbi Yochanan, Mukhlefes Hashita. And Rabbi Yochanan's response is, well, in the second brisa, in the first brisa, I knew it was one of them, okay, in the first, Rashi and Tosfos both discuss. In the first brisa, what we're going to do is we're going to flip the shitas around. So now we'll have full coordination between the two shitas.
Didn't we raise this issue yesterday about if you could eat the mother, you could eat the egg?
Correct. That's why we're having this whole discussion.
No, but it was rejected yesterday, no?
We didn't reject it. In other words, we're trying to understand, why can't I eat the egg? If I can eat the mother, why can't I eat the egg? But here's the point, and now the Gemara is going to finish up its point. Now, obviously, what just happened here? Rav Yochanan was bothered by conflicting positions of Rav Yehuda. One regarding the squeezing of a fruit, and the other one about an egg laying a chicken. He's obviously feeling that these two are analogous. Well, why are they analogous? Oh, it must be because the chicken laying the egg must be a function of fruit coming out of the juice coming out of a fruit. Meaning the reason why he thinks that these two Bryces are arguing with one another is because they're operating with the same basic premise. That just like I can't squeeze a fruit in order to have the juice come out of it, I too also, again, squeezing a chicken, that's not... Meaning just like, let me start the sentence again. Just like I can't have the fruit that comes out of the juice that comes out of a fruit, so too I can't have an egg that comes out of a chicken. Okay, in other words, it's a gzeira because of schita. So you see that Rav Yochanan, based on this whole discussion, we see that Rav Yochanan agrees with Rabbi Yitzchak, the issue is schita. So the Gemara says, Shema min achad taimahu. Ravina, top of Gimel Medeis. Ravina amar la'olam lo tepach. Now Ravina says, look, I don't think you need to switch anything around. Because Rav Yehuda divrem de Rabban kamar lehu. And when Rav Yehuda was responding to the Chachamim, so Rav Yehuda says, look, if you ask me my own personal opinion, I think you can eat the egg even on day one. Why? I can eat the chicken, I can eat the egg. Which is interesting. The Gemara now just kind of casually is saying, you know, Rav Yehuda allows you to eat the egg on day one. Meaning, what the Gemara now is, what Ravina is entertaining is the idea that basically, who's Rav Yehuda following? Which Shita in our Mishnah is Rav Yehuda following? Beis Shammai. Meaning go all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta. Beis Shammai says you're allowed to eat the egg. And Rav Yehuda now is casually saying, look, if you ask me, I think you can eat the egg. You can eat the mother, you can eat the egg. So it is interesting that, and the Gemara just kind of you know, says it without making a big deal about it. But anyway, so Ella leads to, but according to you, Odili Mias de Bisheni Sharia Deshte Kedusha, saying, look, I know you disagree with me on day one. And so therefore, I know we're not going to get anywhere on day one. But look, give me this, day two of Rosh Hashanah. It's another day. It's what's called Shtei Kedushos. So the Amri Le, Rabban Alo Kedusha Achasi, and the Chachamim say, no, we don't agree. The 48 hours of Rosh Hashanah are not 2 days, but it's one long day. It's what we refer to as Yom HaRichta. It's one long day. And so therefore, if I can't eat the egg on day one, I can't eat it on day two. Because day two is not day two. Day two is just simply an extension of day one. Okay.
I mean, if Rabbi Yehuda is saying this, that is for his own opinion, so where is he getting his opinion in the Mishnah from?
Right, so in other words, I'm so pointing out.
What's the source of that?
Beis Shammai. In other words, he's...
That's agreeing, but he's not keeping it as Beis Shammai, right?
Generally speaking, like I would, on my own, I wouldn't have said that. But that's what the Gemara is saying. Anyway, it's an important point, but let's just move on for the time being. Ravina Bereder of Ula Amar Hach B'Tanagos Amos Galdo Beitzim Rav Yehuda Tami Dislei Muksa. We're going to get now another approach, although it's really not another approach. It's basically going back to what we said earlier. We're talking about a chicken which is dedicated to egg laying, Omos Galdo Beitzim, and Rav Yehuda who simply holds the Muksa. In other words, the Gemara now is suggesting this is a muksa issue, which really is where we started the whole discussion, meaning that was Rav Nachman's point, is that it's a muksa issue. If I have an egg laid on either Shabbos or Yom Tov, so you can't move it. It's muksa. And I don't care why I would want to move it. You can't move it. You can't move it to cover a utensil. You can't move it to lean a bed on top of it, although as an egg, I really don't know how smart that is. That doesn't sound prudent, but okay. In other words, you can't lean anything against it. Ava kofa la, it's a kli b'shul shelo tishaber. However, if you want to protect the egg, so what you could do is you could take a kli and you could put it over the egg in order to protect the egg so that the egg doesn't break. Usveka asura. Now, in the event of suffix, it's going to be prohibited. Now, let's say this egg gets mixed in with other eggs. And just to make this point very clear, 1,000 other eggs, it's going to be prohibited. Now, right? So, we get the point. The egg is prohibited, but moreover, the suffix is prohibited. A tarovis is prohibited, meaning we're talking about a very serious prohibition. Now, Bishlam alarabadamar mishamachana avisveka daresa. Now, of all the opinions that we've seen so far to explain why this egg is prohibited, I can understand this in the context of Rabbah. Because Rabbah says hachana, and hachana is a dinda araisa. So I can totally understand how we're going to be machmir by a suffik. But the chosveka daresa lachumra. Alarav Yosef, Rav Yitzchak damar misham gzera sveka darabanin vachosveka darabanin lakula. But according to Rav Yitzchak, and according to Rav Yosef, the only reason why we cannot eat this egg on Yom Tov is because of a gzera, a rabbinic decree. So that means it's a din derabanan. And where do we normally turn to on a suffic din derabanan? We're makel. So why shouldn't we be makel? So the Gemara is, it's a strong question. The Gemara's response is, asan l'suffic trefa. Well, maybe in defense of the opinions of Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yosef, what I'll say is the following. The Braisa actually turned the discussion without telling us. Meaning, then the egg is laid on Yom Tov, you can't eat the egg. That's a muksa issue. Or, no, let's not say muksa, sorry. It's a gzera issue. Fine. But when the Braisa then talks about the suffix, it's no longer talking about the gzera issue. It's talking about where it's very possible that this egg emerged from a chicken which was a trefa. We know that if a chicken is a trefa, obviously the chicken is prohibited. Now, truth of the matter is, we're not going to know that the chicken is a trefa, generally speaking, until after you shecht it. Because it usually is affecting one of its internal organs, and only after you shecht and open up the chicken are you going to see that the animal is a trefa. But let's say the following. Let's say that we had a couple of chickens laying eggs, and then the eggs are now collected into a basket. We shechted both chickens. One turns out to be a trefa, and the other one turns out to be okay. Well, but now I know that one, that some of the eggs then over here emanated from a chicken, which was a treifa. Much like you can't eat a chicken, which is a treifa, you cannot eat the eggs produced by the treifa. And as the Gemara over here in the context of this discussion is very pretty clear about, this is not a din d'rabbanan, this is a din d'araisa. And we're having a suffix d'araisa. So the Gemara says, yihachi em ha-seifa. So the Gemara says, very good. Okay, that's a good explanation. Good. But now let's move on to the next part of the braisa. Nit'arva be'elav kulan asuris. So if this egg gets mixed in with 1,000 other eggs, they're all going to be prohibited. Meaning there's no bittul. No bittul. Why is there no bittul? Meaning we know bittul works for isuri d'rabbanan. We also know that bittul works for isuri d'araisa. So why is there no bittul over here? Iyamar bishlama safik yamtav safik chol. Havi davar sheyesh lo matirin v'chol davar sheyesh lo matirin afilu be'elav lo batul. So oddly enough, if the issue was a yontif slash gezerah issue, I have a much better time, easier time understanding why there's no bittul, because we have a principle of davar sheyesh lo matirin. Explaining davar sheyesh lo matirin in 2 minutes, I'll try. Davar sheyesh lo matirin means as follows. I have something which right now is prohibited, but if we wait a little bit of time, it's going to be permitted. Example, we have the perfect example sitting right in front of us. The egg which is laid on Yontif. The egg laid on Yontif. Right now, it's prohibited. I can't eat it on Yontif. What about after Yontif? Enjoy. So in other words, I have something which has a temporary prohibition. A temporary prohibition which will be permitted in just a little bit of time. This is what's called the Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. And what the Gemara is introducing us to is the idea that when I have a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, there is no bittul. Why not? So I'll give you the easy and Rashi explanation of why not. There's more to the story. But right now, for today, I'll give you Rashi. Rashi says, I'll tell you why not. Because you know what? Let's not rely on bittul. Meaning bittul tells me that most of it's kosher and some of it's not. Most of it's mutter and some of it's aser. And generally speaking, the Torah says that's okay. But you know what? If we just wait one day, it's all going to be mutter. So ad shetochal be'iser, until, right, in other words, rather than relying on the principle of bittul, tochal beheter. Just wait a day and allow everything to become mutter. So this is davar sheyesh lo matirin. So if the issue was, A, the egg was laid on Yontif, and therefore it's muksa or gzera derabanan. I keep saying muksa. And the issue was gzera derabanan. So fine. Then I can understand why there's no bittul, because wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow everything will be fine. Ele'i amar tzafik treifa, davar she'ein lo matirin hu, viti batel beruba. But if this is a treifa, meaning if the braisa turned the discussion from a egg which is laid on Yontif to a tzafik treifa, which is what we wanted to argue, and the reason why is because the previous point of the braisa is tzafik. So therefore, it had to have been an issur d'araisa. But if this is a treifa issue, so then treifa, there's no heter. I mean, treifa will never become mutter. So it's a davar she'ein lo matirin, and therefore there should be bittul. And what we'll stop over here and we'll take up for tomorrow is, well then why by the eggs will there not be bittul? I'll just end, as long as we talked about davar she'ein lo matirin, so I'll just end with one point. We just started Chodesh Nisan. Yesterday was Chodesh Nisan. Do you know that by chametz, there's no bittul? Meaning I mix a little bit of chametz in with something else, so even if the ratios are overwhelming, and the amount of whatever I mix in the chametz with is overwhelming over that of chametz, there's no bittul. There's no bittul by chametz. Okay, the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, there's no bittul by chametz. Why not? Why is there no bittul by chametz? So the Rambam's explanation is, davar sheyesh lo matirin. Because on Pesach itself, it's chametz and it's prohibited, but what about after Pesach? So after Pesach, it's no longer prohibited. The Torah only prohibits chametz for 7 days. After 7 days, it's now permitted. So the Rambam says that chametz is not subject to bittul because of davar sheyesh lo matirin. Okay, that's the so good. So we learned about the principle davar sheyesh lo matirin, and even connected it to Chodesh Nisan, getting ready for Pesach. Adkan, so good. So now, conclusion. We have now seen a total of four explanations of the Mishnah why the egg is prohibited on Yontif. Dissatisfaction, why the others are dissatisfied with each one of the other four positions. Rav Yochanan also agrees that it's a function of Gzera de Rabbanan. and the Gemara continues the discussion, and we touched on today some of the most basic issues regarding Yontif, why certain food preparation malachas are mutar on Yontif, and why others are prohibited, and I gave but one approach today to explain that.